Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text on this 18th Sunday after Pentecost is from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 9, verses 30 through 37, where we learn about the greatness of the Lord. As we prepare to receive this word from the Lord, let us take a moment to pray. Heavenly Father, we humbly pray that you would open our hearts to the preaching of your word, that through it we may repent of our sins, believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior, and grow in grace and holiness. Hear us for your Son's sake. In his name we pray. Amen. In the September edition of the Peace Post, our monthly newsletter, I wrote about our new Lutheran service book, Hymnals. I recommended to all of you that you take some time to read the introduction found at the beginning of the new hymnal. I'm sure you've all done that by now, but just in case some of you haven't, let me recommend it to you once again. Read the introduction found in the new hymnal. Not right now, later. Right now I want you to listen to the sermon. Why am I bringing this up? Well, listen to how the introduction to Lutheran service book begins. Our Lord is the Lord who serves. Jesus Christ came into the flesh not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. This is the message our Lord is teaching his disciples in his gospel, in our gospel lesson this morning. He came into the world not to be served, but to serve. And he tells them just how it is that he will serve. The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. They will kill him, and after 3 days, he will rise. Sound familiar? It should. If you were listening to the gospel lesson last week, you heard the same exact thing. After St. Peter and the disciples make the good confession by stating that Jesus is the Christ, Jesus teaches them what the Christ has come into the world to do, namely to suffer and die and rise again. Jesus tells them this plainly, and yet they don't get it. St. Peter rebukes Jesus, "Never, Lord, we shall never let this happen to you." Do you remember the Lord's reaction? "Get behind me, Satan, for you do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Surely, that stern rebuke from the Lord got through to St. Peter and the rest of the disciples, right? Nope. Here we go again. Jesus again tells them plainly why he has come into the world. But again, they do not understand. In fact, St. Mark comes right out and tells us. But they did not understand what he meant and were afraid to ask him about it. And later on, the disciples show forth their misunderstanding by their actions. As they're traveling along the road to Capernaum, they argue among themselves over who is the greatest. Who's the number one disciple? Who does Jesus love the best? And so on. What's wrong with these disciples? How can they be so ignorant? How can they be so self-centered? How can they completely misunderstand the Lord's teachings? Jesus should just scrap this bunch and find himself some new disciples. These guys just don't get it. But the Lord shows tremendous patience with them. He is, after all, full of grace and mercy. He doesn't send them away and replace them with new disciples. Instead, he sits them down, and once again, he tries to teach them about what it means to be the Christ and to be a follower of the Christ. If anyone wants to be first, Jesus says, he must be the very last and the servant of all. Then he uses an object lesson to bring home his point. He takes a little child in his arms and says, whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me. Jesus is trying to teach his confused disciples that greatness in his kingdom is not measured in the way the world measures greatness. Greatness in his kingdom is not measured by power or rank, by who holds the highest position or has the most possessions. Greatness in his kingdom is measured by service. To be great in the Lord's kingdom is to be a servant to him and to others. You see, my friends, by nature, the Almighty God of heaven and earth is a servant. He created Adam and Eve so that he might care for them. He created them in his own image to be servants to one another, to creation, and to their children. When they sinned, he did not respond with raw power and blot them out. Instead, he promised a Savior. He served them. In other words, he did not get rid of them, even though he had every right and was justified to do so. Instead, he promised that he would serve them by doing all the work to deliver them from sin and hell and to give them grace and everlasting life. Therefore, it was in service to all that Jesus was born of Mary. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God continues to serve by providing all we need for this body and life. He also continues to serve by making sure that his word is still proclaimed and his sacraments are still administered, because that is where he gives the forgiveness that Jesus, his Son, won. That's why we call worship divine service. Not that we come and serve the divine, but that the divine comes and serves us. The greatness of the Lord is that he is, by nature, a servant. Of course, this doesn't make sense to the sinful world. The sinful world measures greatness in a completely opposite way. Greatness is achieved in this world when you have so much power that you are being served by others. The more people you have under you, the greater you are. The less accountable you are to others, the greater greatness you have. When the sinful world thinks of greatness, it thinks of being worshipped, served, and glorified by others. That's why our world idolizes movie stars, rock singers, and professional athletes. The sinful world looks at wealth, publicity, and fame and says, now that's great. I wish I had that. Repent, O sinners, for you too are guilty of measuring greatness in the way of the sinful world. Like the world, you desire more wealth and popularity. Admit it. You believe that your life would be better if you had more. If only you had more money. If only you had more friends. If only you had a bigger house or a newer car. If only you were the boss and could run things your way. And not only are you guilty of wanting more wealth, power, and status, but you're also guilty of failing to serve the Lord who mercifully serves you. Of course, you try to convince yourself that it's not your fault. After all, you have a very busy life. There's so much to do. If only you had more time, then you would serve the Lord. If you weren't so busy, you would take more time to pray. You would take more time to study the Bible. You would take more time to serve the Lord in his church. But as it is, you're strapped. So the Lord will just have to wait his turn. Repent. For you are guilty of wanting more and not serving the Lord. And if you believe you're not, if you're saying to yourself right now, not me, I'm perfectly content with what I have and I always serve the Lord, you are in need of repentance all the more. For there's not a soul in here today who is not guilty of all these things. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We have all put our own selfish desires before the Lord. We have all failed to serve as we should. Truth be told, we're no different than the Lord's disciples. In fact, we're worse. What Jesus was teaching them was new to them. That the Son of God would come into the world to suffer and die was foreign to them. They were taught to expect a different kind of Messiah, as you've often heard. One who would defeat all their enemies and establish them as the most powerful kingdom on earth. It's no wonder they didn't understand Jesus' mission and the nature of the kingdom that he would come to establish. But we can't make the same claim of ignorance. We know the truth. In the words of Paul Harvey, we know the rest of the story. We know that Jesus came to serve by suffering and dying on the cross for the sin of the world. We know that he accomplished that mission and that he rose again from the dead on the third day. We know the whole story, and yet we still fail miserably to be the disciples he calls us to be. We're self-centered. We seek to serve our own selfish wants and desires and neglect to serve the Lord and his church. Maybe the Lord should scrap us and find others to follow him. He would be perfectly justified in doing so. But thanks be to God, he doesn't. He is full of grace and mercy. He shows the same loving patience with us that he did with his disciples. He sits us down in his church and once again teaches us his truths. He says to you right now from this pulpit, I love you. Yes, it's true. You have failed miserably. You have sinned terribly. You've been more worried about yourselves than you have about others and about me. But I love you anyway. In fact, it is for you that I came into the world to serve by suffering and dying on the cross. It is for you that I shed my innocent and holy blood. It is for you that I come to be in your presence in this holy house to serve you with my gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation through my holy word and sacraments. Receive my word of forgiveness. Receive my very body and blood. Receive these gifts I offer to you. There are no strings attached. They are yours free of charge. Receive them. And then go in peace to serve others, for in your service to others, you serve me. Dear friends in Christ, the greatness of the Lord is that he is the Lord who serves. He serves you so that you may serve him by serving others. You don't deserve his service, but he serves you anyway, for he has chosen you as his own. He has welcomed you as his child through the sacrament of holy baptism. There he has given you his name and made you a part of his family. As part of his family, he desires that you live out your lives in this sinful world as his servants. You don't need to be told what this means or how to do this, for you already know. You are children of God. You are Christians. You know how to serve others. Do it, my friends, for serving others is no rigorous demand your Lord gives to you. It's actually an invitation to be blessed and to feel great. You know this to be true from experience, don't you? You've experienced that wonderful feeling that comes over you when you've offered selfless service to others. You set out to lend a helping hand to someone in need, and you end up being the one who feels good about it. It's not that you offer your service to others to feel good about yourself, but that's what actually ends up happening anyway. I knew a pastor once who used to always say, that we Christians are blessed to be a blessing. While that's true, it's actually incomplete. The truth is that we are blessed to be a blessing, and when we are a blessing to others, we are blessed. Our Lord is the Lord who serves. That's what makes him great. His kingdom is a kingdom of service. That's what makes it great. We, my friends, are servants in his kingdom. That's what makes us great. May the Lord who serves enable us to experience this greatness by empowering us to live lives of service in his holy and precious name. Amen. Now the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.